From time to time, people say to me, well, does it really matter whether Jesus existed? What matters, they suggest, are the moral teachings of Jesus. You must agree, they say, that Jesus said a lot of good and noble things. Even if you're right about the absence of evidence, we shouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater. So I want to take a clear-eyed look at what we imagine our phantom friend supposedly said that was so astounding, so revolutionary, and so profound. Because in truth, the words of Jesus are themselves further evidence of the wholesale fabrication of this bogus Messiah. Words placed in his mouth by a collection of anonymous authors are not original, they are not profound, and they fail dismally to turn the world upside down. So what does Jesus actually say? Well, much of the Gospels is taken up not with teachings at all, but with conjurer's tricks. Let's remember, the ancient world had a desperately unscientific view of illness, and the first hat placed on the head of Jesus was not that of a moral philosopher, but of an exorcist. Jesus perambulated about, quite randomly it seems, healing the sick and the lame by the expulsion of demons. Jesus describes his tricks as great works and promises his followers that they will also be able to do the same. Should we be impressed by such showman's pizzazz? After all, any so-called god could have left behind a cure for malaria, or at least some instructions regarding personal hygiene. Instead, of course, Jesus champions the cause of eating without washing hands on the spurious basis that it isn't what goes into your mouth that pollutes a man, but what comes out. Still with his conjurer's hat on, some of Jesus' words betray the petulant behaviour of a super being commonly found in the pages of Greek and Roman literature. For example, Jesus rebukes the wind and tells the sea to be still. On another occasion, he causes a fig tree to shrivel because he was hungry and the tree wasn't in fruit. Notoriously, Jesus encourages the indulgent use of expensive ointment on his body on the questionable moral basis that the poor are always with us. Whatever else, there is no high moral tone in this eccentric behaviour. But of course, there are moral teachings from the mouth of Jesus, though not particularly noble ones. For example, what is Jesus' view on divorce? Some think among the Jews and the Romans, which was permissible for centuries. The edict of Jesus is as simple as it is uncompromising. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Divorce, as far as Jesus is concerned, is forbidden, and remarriage is adultery. But let's dig beneath the surface and see what we're really dealing with here. We can divide Jesus' so-called teachings into two broad groups. Those which purport to tell real human beings how to live their lives, such as his ruling on divorce, and those which warn of an impending judgment day just around the corner. Now think about it. The rules of how to live and the urgent warnings of an apocalypse within the time frame of those who hear him, the two sorts of teachings are in opposition. Rules to live by suggest continuity of the human race, not an imminent end of time. What we see here running through the teachings of Jesus is one of the seams of its construction. Some of the teachings originate in a wider culture permeated by Stoicism and other Greek philosophies. Other teachings originate in the fire and brimstone of Jewish messianic movements. The teachings of Jesus are actually an eclectic mix of borrowed sentiments, with a flavouring from apocalyptic heebie-jeebies calculated to instill fear and conformity. It isn't truth, it isn't history, it's more astounding rubbish from the New Testament.